This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. I'm going to vamp for just a second because Kyle did just text me and said, have him call me back. So that's happening right now. Alec Medford is getting Kyle Yeomans on the phone. My question to you, my wife and I celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary over last weekend. And we were on the elevator at the hotel going down the elevator. And this lady, she walks onto the elevator and she's like, hey, she just starts talking to Adrian. They hit it off immediately. And she looks at her and she goes, you're so rad. And I was like, oh, my gosh, is she, A, hitting on my wife right now? And, B, who uses the word rad anymore?
Yeah.
So what is the word that you use that nobody else uses anymore? Because mine is dope.
Huzzah.
I'll be like, huzzah.
My wife's a straight up beast.
I am always, I'll always throw dope out there. My kids are like, did you just say dope for his friends? So that's always one out there. So 877-881-1053. If you want to text in the word that you use that nobody else uses anymore. How are we looking on this, Alec?
He's good to go.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear it. All right. It is time to talk with DallasCowboys.com, Kyle Yeomans. Kyle, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
We are accepting this win, but there are a lot of people out there that just don't think accepting a win like that is good enough right now. Correct?
Now, yes. Yeah. But Kyle, before you answer any of these questions, I need to ask you something. This will determine how I'm doing. Did I bring too much heat to your phone for their first several text messages? Because
I meant to respond. I was in the middle of calling a game whenever you texted the second one, so I just didn't get a chance to text back.
Okay, because I said
I'll get you back.
I said earlier, I was like, I think I might have asked for too much. And I was like, hey, Kyle, this is Kevin. Can I get Darren Woodson's phone number, Nate Newton's phone number, and can you get me some autograph stuff for Peace of Thought? I was like, I feel like I came out of the gate too hot.
No, we're gonna try and hook you up. I've already talked to somebody about it. I just didn't get a chance to respond. So I'll respond with you after the show today, and we'll get you going in the right direction. I'm always down to support Peace-a-thon. I think you guys do a great job with that every year. So always down to support. Yeah, no, my bad on not texting you back. I promise it's because I was in the middle of something, and I just didn't get back around to it. You didn't come with too much heat. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, to Corey's more pertinent question, it does seem to be pretty split this morning in terms of, like, hey, it's tough to win an NFL game, especially on the road against a divisional opponent, versus you look at this season as a whole thus far, and you're 2-2, and you've beaten two what I'm going to guess will end up as pretty bad teams. Where do you fall with that?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle there. I think you can accept this win for what it is. I thought, Corey, the way you opened that up was perfect, because if you get a win, you get a win. And John Madden used to say it's better to have an ugly win than have a beautiful loss. And it all counts the same in order to move forward as an organization. Plus, you go into a mini bye with a win. You got a chance to go try and get back above 500. But, I mean, 1-3 and 2-2 are completely different scenarios. If this would have been a loss last night, let's say Daniel Jones can learn how to throw a football in the middle of that football game yesterday, then I think we're talking about it as a loss. And I think that's something you have to look at in the full context of how this season has gone, because they haven't played good football to this point. They haven't put together what is a meaningful offensive attack and a impenetrable defense. I mean, there's a long way to go this season, and there's a long way to go to see what the final look of this football team will be. But overall, I think a win is a win. You get through it. You grit it out, which is what I think they had to do yesterday. And now you get a chance to rest up, hopefully get some guys healthy going into Pittsburgh, who I would assume, I mean, assuming they beat Indianapolis on Sunday, are going to be 4-0 going at home to play in a storied rivalry like the Cowboys and the Steelers. That's not going to be an easy environment. So this was a must-win for the Cowboys mentality-wise.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm on that same boat. Just think about Peace-a-thon real quick. Our first year, we were like, that was good, but we can do better. And
yeah,
that's where I think, you know, like, that's where I think the Cowboys, and I think the players, Micah sounded like he was that way last night, Kyle, where he was like, yeah, I'm tired of this. I want to do better.
That really resonated with me, by the way, that he's when he said that.
Well, we're able to put it in those terms. It makes it easier. I get it. I think the one thing with this team, and we've talked about this on the show before, but what matters in the Dallas Cowboys organization is what you do in the postseason. However you get there, as long as you're there, is fine. I mean, even if it's ugly, even if it's gritty, and you win a couple games that you probably shouldn't, and you lose a couple games that you probably shouldn't, as long as you get in the tournament, that's what matters. Because at the end of the day, you could go undefeated. Of course, they're not going to. But you could go undefeated the regular season. If you lose in the wild card round or the divisional round in an embarrassing fashion again, then I think we're talking about the same thing over and over and over again. So right now, you don't need to be playing your best football. You never want to be playing your best football in the middle of September. But you weathered the storm. You got through it at 2-2. And you have a chance to try and make a statement over these next 3 weeks against really good competition. Steelers, Lions, you get a bye week, and then you got the 49ers. I mean, this is not going to be easy over the next month or so to try and right the ship and start playing your best football. But it's not like we expected that in the first place.
How much tougher is it to play close to your best football when you're going to be missing two of your best players? It would appear. Now, nothing confirmed there, but the reports we got are high ankle sprain from Micah. I think we're all familiar with the multi-week timeline that usually comes along with that. And then Pelissero is saying the foot injury for Tank, multiple weeks out. So, like, I hear what you're saying for sure, but how much tougher does that make it when, like, at least two of the veterans that you got a pretty good idea of what they do probably aren't going to be there for at least some of it?
Yeah, no, that is going to be tough, especially when you're talking about the mobility of the quarterbacks that you're going to face. I mean, Jared Goff's not necessarily that guy, but you could say it with whoever's going to start at quarterback for Pittsburgh, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields next week. I mean, that's going to be a challenge if you can't set the edge, you can't put pressure on those guys. And even whenever you're going up against Jared Goff in Detroit 2 weeks from now, you need to put pressure on Jared Goff to try and force him into some of those mistakes. So, yeah, not having Micah or Tank, should that be the case. And we've seen it before where players, depending on the severity of the high ankle sprain, players can come back and play. I know at one point Jason Witten, I think, played on like a week's rest coming off of a high ankle sprain. It just depends on how severe it is. And I think we saw last night with Micah getting carted off, I would probably err on the side of caution, more so on the side of optimism whenever it comes to Micah. So I would anticipate him being out a couple weeks. We'll get a for sure update from Mike McCarthy, I'm sure, here in about 2 hours. But yeah, not having those two guys is going to force guys like Marshawn Nealon to step up, Osa Odighizuwa to bring some pass rush ability. And then think about how good of a game it was for Mozzie Smith. We finally saw a legitimate contribution from Mozzie Smith, and yet now he's got guys falling off of the active roster around him due to injury. So it is. It's going to affect things, and you're going to have to find a way to contribute even if you get some of those guys back down the line.
I want to get back to Mozzie Smith in just a second, but does Micah strike you kind of as the kind of person, especially this at this point in his career, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all, that's headstrong enough to think like, no, I can go play. You know, like, even if maybe you should take a week off or whatever, he's been saying a lot this year, and it kind of feels like he might be like, I need to be out there.
Yeah, I can see him having that mindset. And that just, like you said, it's not a bad thing. It's just it plays to the type of competitor that Micah Parsons is. I do give the benefit of the doubt to this training staff, though. I mean, Jim Maurer, Britt Brown, Dr. Cooper, those guys aren't going to just trot one of their best players, if not the best edge rusher that they've had in years, back out there with a half ankle, right? I mean, they're going to make sure he's good to go. And I trust their judgment. If they say he's fine enough to play and it's worth him playing, then great. I mean, that once again goes back to the competitive nature of Micah, his ability to keep his body right week to week. And that's a good thing. But if you don't see him out there, I think that's probably the decision of the training staff. More so it is Micah saying, I'm going to take a couple weeks off here, guys.
All right, Kyle, you only get to pick one, Hunter Lipke mm-hmm. or DeMarvion Overshown. Good luck.
Ooh. So are we talking in terms of the whole season, or are we talking performance-wise yesterday?
You get to choose.
Oh, man, that's tough. Well, since we're going to have some guys out, and I thought he was tremendous yesterday, I'm going to go with DeMarvion Overshown. I've been trying to put him in these base packages the last couple of weeks with Mike Zimmer's defense. They need mm-hmm. him to play downhill, and he did yesterday, and you saw how much it helped this defense.
And Lipke, you can go ahead and you can analyze Lipke if you'd like to as well. That's fine.
Yeah, he's so fun, man. He's just a football player. Like, you need him to run into a brick wall of defensive linemen to try and lead block for your tailback, he's going to do it. If you need him to run a route where you're trying to dice up a nickelback and try and go across on a dig to try and pick up a first down and Dak's going to hit you on a diving ball, sure, great, go for it, Hunter Lipke. He's just one of those guys that I think he's quiet in the locker room, but his play speaks louder than anything. He's just a fun football player and a fun film watch. He's the type of guy you want on your team. He's never going to be your number one contributor, your number one producer in terms of stats and highlights and whatever it may be. But it's guys like that that can be the difference between winning and losing football games in the NFL. And I think having Hunter Lipke playing at a higher level is a huge plus for this team.
Now, I know we're partying about those two players, and I understand why, but mm-hmm. to the rest of the team, this team still misses a lot of tackles, and this run offense is still really stagnant. What can be done about either?
Well, I think I'll start with the run game. It starts up front. You've got guys like Zach Martin not playing his best football. Tyler Smith hasn't been perfect either. And then Kayvon Thibodeau had his way yesterday with Tyler Guyton. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Thibodeau dominated Guyton, and there was not a whole lot of room to work on the left side of the line of scrimmage, both as a run blocker and as a pass blocker. So I think you've got to see better play from your offensive line to have success in order to run the football. I did like the way that they used Rico Dowdle yesterday. It seemed like they gave him the opportunity to be the featured tailback. Go out there, take some carries, find some open space, and he did on occasion. Will his stat line jump off the page? No, it won't. But what it was is it was a conservative effort to give him the football, and it did result in the touchdown in the second drive of the game. So I liked what I saw there. I think you need to see more of that to establish some sort of rhythm with either a running back or this offensive line or the run game as a whole moving forward. Now, on the defensive side, missing tackles is a problem. When you have 40 missed tackles in your first four games, I mean, that's, of course, for all the math wizards out there, it's an average of 10 per game. You can't be missing 10 tackles a game. And that just goes back to fundamentals. And a lot of it, I think, is maybe they're a step behind. Maybe they're taking a wrong angle, and they're not having the right leverage from a tackle standpoint to actually follow through and bring a ball carrier to the ground. And maybe a lot of that is kind of what Micah had talked about previously, of guys trying to play Superman. They're flying to the football. They're trying to get into the right spot after being in the wrong spot the entire time, and you're just doing what you can. So it is going to result in some broken tackles. I think that will certainly come to a halt, or at least maybe die off slowly as the year goes on. The struggle to bring guys down, that's going to be a part of Mike Zimmer's emphasis over these next few weeks to try and avoid some of that moving forward.
All right, Kyle, before we let you go, how are we looking against Tulsa this weekend?
You know, looking pretty good. They're banged up, the Mean Green of North Texas. They're banged up at wide receiver and running back. But last week, Shane Porter came in, transfer from Kansas State, put up 130 yards rushing. We had a guy who wasn't even supposed to be dressed out score three touchdowns on the ground last week. So I think I like what we've seen from Tulsa, from North Texas. And they're trying to beat Tulsa for the first time since, I think it was 1969 at home.
Nice.
It's been a long time since the Mean Green have had some success against the Hurricane at home. So I think they'll get the job done, and Coach Eric Morris and company will be 4-1 and 1-0 in conference play. It'll be a fun one.
Let's go Mean Green.
Do you think that's a bigger game than Alabama-Georgia?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
Get to Dak Hughes Stadium if you're a fan of the Mean Green. Get out there. It's going to be beautiful weather all day. I'm taking the babies out there this week. I'm going to have all three triplets dressed in green and white, ready to roll.
Did you tell your wife about my book idea that you should write?
I did when it happened. I think initially I was like, you know what? I was like, Kevin just came up with our next brilliant idea. I was like, we're going to talk about the book, and she was all for it.
Let's go.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much, Kyle. Talk to you next week, man.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Kyle Yeomans right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. Which football game are you most looking forward to this weekend? That includes those high school fans. And then Masterpiece of the Week. A lot coming at you next right here on The Fan.
Lamb is in a slot on the right this time. Snap to Prescott. Looks right. Now goes screen left. Dowdle with a block to the 10, to the 5. He's into the end zone. Touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. Got Masterpiece of the Week coming up in just a few minutes. But which football game are you most looking forward to this weekend? 877-881-1053 if you want to get in on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Now, I have no doubt that many people are going to say Alabama against Georgia. I'm also sure, Corey, you would support the Oklahoma versus Auburn game, which can be heard tomorrow at 2:30 right here on 105.3 The Fan. We can incorporate NFL as well. Where are you guys falling in terms of the football game you care about the most this weekend?
I think Commanders Cardinals is on the top of my
list.
Okay. I want to watch as much Jaden Daniels as I can throughout his career. I want to see Marvin Harrison Jr. as much as I can. So
yeah,
those two things right there, I think are big factors for me. And only one of those teams has anybody on my fantasy team. That's Terry McLaurin.
Okay.
Other than that, it doesn't matter that much to me. But yeah, that's the one I think I'm after.
Now, Alec, I want to know where you fall with this. The one that really pops to mind, of course, is Georgia Alabama. On the NFL side, I'm really intrigued by the Vikings and Patriots. No, let's try that again. Vikings and Packers. There we go. Every week I want to be like, but this is when the Vikings fall apart, right? And then when you hear rumblings about the imminent return of Jordan Love, I'm pretty excited to see that game.
Yeah, and I, at this point, there's no way to judge if that hot hand is going to be stopped for Sam Darnold and the Vikings. That defense is playing really well. I told you guys that Brian Flores is my new boogeyman in the NFL, so I don't know if the Vikings are going to be stopped anytime soon. And the NFC is just weak in general, so I don't really know. And I'm right there with you. I'm equally intrigued. And the nice thing is we can actually like take these all in this Sunday because the Cowboys
yes.
already took care of business yesterday. So
that's
I'm actually going to have like an intense view on that because I'm really intrigued by the Vikings.
Kevin, I do want to point out one of our listeners. Actually, it was Ruben that pointed this out. We were on ESPN today, the KNC Masterpiece on Odyssey on 105.3. The Fan was
big
on
shock.
ESPN. Yeah, they took some of our stuff and used it. So look at that.
They
we're
took some of our stuff earlier this week, too.
Yeah.
And you were on CNN.
Yeah.
And I've heard rumblings you might moderate a presidential debate.
877-881-1053. Would you watch a presidential debate if Kevin and I both moderated the presidential debate? Would you think that would be interesting, yes or no? And if I just started yelling, stop the count in the middle of the debate, would that be inappropriate?
And while you ponder that, Dallas Morning News is saying Parsons is likely out 2 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. And the reason why I kept saying, you all know kind of the time frame that's included with a high ankle sprain. You have, you know, 9 more days until you play the next game. But when you factor that in, along with DeMarcus Lawrence probably being out with a couple of weeks with the foot injury per Pelissero, I mean, I think you can make a really strong argument that you'll be going into that game without two of your best defenders, if not your absolute best defenders, with the hope of maybe Bland continues his quick recovery and is good to go. But you're going to be somewhat shorthanded, it feels like, coming up in Maybe not just the next game, but maybe the next couple of games going
into
the
bye. Yeah, that's going to be tough. It means the offense needs to get their crap together so they can be the ones that carry this thing.
You know, that's a great point, Alec. I know we're going to get to Masterpiece of the Week, but I look at this, and Dak goes 13-14 when he gets rid of the ball under 2.5 seconds. 143 yards, two touchdowns. He had a great statistical game, and it felt like he had a good game along the way. But then the Cowboys scored 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a really weird disconnect between, like, I felt like I was watching him play pretty well.
Yes.
But we weren't scoring any points.
And they could have been better had their offensive line been a little more productive. I'm going with Guyton. Penalties were a big factor there. But, yeah, it did feel like it. But, man, that's what I'm saying. Not just Dak. The offense needs to carry their side.
Agreed.
They need to get their crap together so that they don't have those penalties that end up shooting them so hard because their defense isn't going to be able to do it. With Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence, that's a big concern right there.
From the 479 Arkansas versus Texas A&M at Jerry World, I think this might be the last neutral site for that series before they go back to home and home. And now, time for Masterpiece of the Week.
Howdy, gentlemen. Long time no speak. It's been like 70 seconds. How's it going?
Yeah.
What's up, Alec?
I always miss you.
Well, I've got some fun for you guys because it's time for Masterpiece of the Week. We do this each and every Friday at 1:30. We revisit some of the fun, wild, and wacky things that are said on this very program. And, gentlemen, I feel like I would be remiss if I did not start with what I think, if it doesn't win in general, it's going to be like our moral victory.
All right, go get Rangers.
That's what I'm talking about. Bruce Bochy said,
I'm
go get Rangers.
That.
That's
I'm
my winner right there. I just need to go ahead and write that one down. Dude, we brought it up to him.
We did.
And he was like, that's funny. And then I said it, and he goes, say it, do it again. Show that one again.
Funny.
Dude, Bruce Bochy's the best, dude. I love him.
He is. I did like his little laugh before that. That is funny.
Oh, man. That's going to be on a T-shirt at some point, whether it's us or Atolo creating that. That will be. And I'm very glad that happened on the final in-season interview with him as well. That's just a great way to put some icing on the cake there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
This is not so great, Corey Majors.
Howdy. It's hanging out like an extra arm.
And then healing process. Let me look.
Sorry, yeah.
That's
an extra arm right there.
That was Kelly Ripa's belly button.
Oh, that yeah. Thing. It does look like a teeny weenie, doesn't it?
Huh?
Man, this whole place went quiet. It was like the record scratch the popular kid walks in at the dance, except in a bad way.
Do you remember the first time that we were ever sent out to do a show? And it was
It
was at the Cowboys Stadium. It was at AT&T.
Yeah.
And we get out there, and there were a bunch of kids sitting in front of us. And then Waddle started playing, like, some random intro that had all these cuss words in it and stuff. And we're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is happening right now.
I stand by my joke.
Good times.
This is why I'm very glad that the Friday Football Feast is on Fridays, because I know this is going over a PA system. Kevin, you said this.
They'll be like, this is the part of your body I want.
What part is that, Kevin? The kidneys?
The haunches? I don't know. Was it Lucius who was like, this is why you shouldn't be an organ donor? Because people will be like, oh,
they're just
man,
gonna harvest
we
it
could
from
save
you.
Like five people with this person. I don't believe that. I am an organ donor, but I hope if I can be saved, I will be saved.
I don't think that I am, and it's because my friend told me a long time ago that they would harvest my organs.
That
and
does
so
not
then I was
feel
like, well,
factually.
I can't trust the system.
I don't know if I believe that one. Corey, I don't know if I believe this one either.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we got to inject your throat because sometimes it has problems.
Yeah, that's you. Your throat sometimes needs steroids because sometimes,
that's what
Kevin,
you call it.
Sometimes after using your voice for a long time, your throat, your voice will go away.
It's true.
And if you ever around Peace-a-thon time and Christmas time, especially if the A&M's good, Kevin's been
don't
screaming
gotta worry
at the
about
game,
that this year.
If around that time, if you see Kevin's missing, it's probably because he injured his throat.
I remember when I went to the doctor and I had a notepad with me so I could write things out, and I showed the note to the receptionist, and she goes, oh, that's kind of fun. I was like,
we're not playing a game
here.
Not
really,
all right?
But all right.
All right, there's some dramatic pauses in this one, so just bear with me. It adds to the context of this very, very well.
If Kansas State loses to BYU, I will shove a beefy five-layer burrito up my...
nose? Please say nose.
But
it's not going to... it's not going to work.
Hold on. You said you really were looking forward to watching that dude
do this.
I was
really hoping that my dramatic pauses would make that not replayable, no, but unfortunately that didn't happen. That dude said he's going to do it tomorrow at 9:30.
Really?
Why such a specific time?
I don't know. Maybe that's when he's free, you know? Oh, or maybe that's when he's most relaxed.
Okay.
I don't.
Don't you feel like you have to be relaxed for that?
I'm probably not
tense,
the right person,
you know,
to ask for that.
I don't think you can be all tense when in that moment.
But that does make sense.
And I think you have to freeze the burrito.
That's a great point. That is a great point. Yeah. I wouldn't know from experience or anything. I'm just saying that makes sense.
From the 903, hold on, is Kevin lose his voice because he's always yelling at y'all? No.
It would add up.
That one Tolo that came up to us, yes. That would make a lot
of sense. That's true. That person was on my side, though.
Well, Sean Sharif said this during crosstalk yesterday.
Him, Peyton, and Alec.
Yeah. Alec wins.
Three-way. Orgy.
No.
What?
Remember it was during crosstalk. He was trying to get a producer off. That came off.
What the hell did you just say? That sounds right.
A producer battle is what he was trying to do. And he was saying, hey, we're going to have them all do something, and they'll be in the studio. And
I don't think you made that any better.
I don't think you helped me out there. I don't think you helped my case specifically. But you did help me transition into this thing that you said, Corey.
I do not know what goes on in that room between those two guys.
Mm-mm. I don't. I have no clue. And I don't even know what guys I was talking about.
Me neither.
Ooh, that will probably determine what's going on.
Yeah, probably so.
Because if it was like Nolan and JD.
You ever walked in on something you shouldn't walk in on?
Mm.
Man, you know what? I don't know if this will exactly answer your question, but I was staying at a friend's house once, and I was looking for a pen, and I opened the wrong drawer. Because I was doing a crossword puzzle, because I'm an old person. And I opened the wrong drawer. And if it was just one, I feel like I could handle that. But there was like four or five in there. And I was like, that feels like too many.
Well, sometimes you want a different flavor.
I guess. It felt like too many.
Yeah.
I closed the drawer, left the room, and just thought about leaving the house.
As Rodney Carrington says, sometimes you want a green M&M after you've had all the red ones.
Hey, maybe they bought in bulk like Diddy's lawyer was talking about. Let's see. Last one I got for you guys because we're up against it. Kevin and a man sitting about 15 feet in front of me said this.
A
to
nail
your butt?
Gun. Maybe my butt. Yeah, you know.
I think that's a...
he said he'd take it on the butt. The
that
staples.
Was, huh? Yeah, they were trying to figure out bet payoffs. And I said we stopped doing it because I stapled my arm, and people were like, those aren't real.
Dude, I want to suggest this to them. Maybe I can do this during crosstalk. Dress like a cowboy, a real cowboy for a week. So you got to like walk around with a lasso.
And like spurs that are jangling.
And some chaps and stuff. And yeah, that's your bet payoff.
That's funny.
Thanks, Boach. I appreciate that, man.
All right. I don't know if this will count as part of my vote. I hope not. I am hoping to make a separate vote for just Bruce Bochy saying, now that's funny. But if it has to be included with the Go Get Rangers, I accept.
By the way,
Rangers.
There you go. I like that. It looks like Max Crosby and Davante Adams will be out against the Browns this week for the Raiders, according to Antonio Pierce.
Okay.
That's my vote, too. I'm voting for Bruce Bochy saying our catchphrase.
All right, Go Get Rangers.
It doesn't matter at this point because he is going to be our winner, but I'm a very big fan of Kevin and his burrito.
If Kansas State loses to BYU, I will shove a beefy five-layer burrito
beefy
up my
nose. Please say nose.
But
it's not going
to
it's not going to work.
And it's hard to recover from that. That now you heard it's like, well, What are you going to say now, buddy? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite, which they are no doubt regretting. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Snap is back. Pressure from Lawson. He heaves it down the right side of the field. Double coverage. Tipped to the ground. Was it intercepted or caught? Caught on a deflection.
Intercepted.
Oh, no, it was intercepted. Yeah. And by who? Amani Oruwariye.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. And we always have Shout Out Friday. Now we got Shout Out Napkin, as frequently has been the tradition. Very special shout out to my best friend Sharon. She wasn't doing too good earlier this week. We got to hear this story. It is a lovely story, Corey. But got better, and here we are. Love going out to see you guys every Friday. Every day we are together is a blessing. That is delightful right there. And also always delightful, D&M Leasing brings you our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm really happy the Cowboys won, but I have immediately been informed by half the audience that that's a stupid thing to be excited about. And it feels like people think you should either be pumped because the Cowboys won or upset because they didn't demolish the Giants, and there is very little in-between room, which is unfortunate to me.
Well, I got good news for you. I don't think there is one right way to fan, so however you want to look at that, yes, from yesterday, more power to you. And I want to give a shout-out to the word malarkey, because Corey brought that back a couple hours ago, and I thought it was terrific.
And then the first thing we found was a baseball player. Like, was it Brian Malarkey?
Bill Malarkey, yeah, or something. Yeah, that is a good word.
Okay, then for you guys, I know there are plenty of shades of gray in there, but what's your number one takeaway from the game yesterday? Is it just, hey, this is a hell of a lot better than being 1-3? Is it somewhere else?
You know, I think it's amazing how parts of this team can just look outstanding against the division, and the defense, like, giving up the fewest yards of any team in the NFL this year. It's just, it's unbelievable how it's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde unit. But, you know, I think there's enough intrigue in there with the way some of the guys played to think, hey, maybe the defense could, you know, have come up upon something that is sustainable. I think another one of my takeaways is, and I haven't heard much about it today, but Dak was freaking awesome.
Sure was. For the first half, Dak looked really, really good. They do have an issue with CeeDee Lamb, though, in the second half. That is a trend. All four games, for whatever reason, CeeDee Lamb has one catch or no catches. So I don't know what's going on with you can't get four quarters of offense together, but I'm with you. They stopped the run. I mean, Devin Singletary and the Giants' run game, it seemed to be getting their stride together, and the Cowboys shut them down last night. That was a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway, is your defensive tackles were competent for the first time in a while. So, and
Mazi
specifically,
really,
yeah, specifically Mazi being that guy, seeing Mazi and Overshown, you know, maybe being able to redeem some of last year's draft class would be pretty exciting.
Yeah, fits and finish, you know, that's what they were able to do in that game. You know, they missed a bunch of tackles the week before, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you had some misses in this game, but it wasn't as bad, and did a much better job of when the front was, you know, asked to play a certain way. They were able to get that done. Linebackers kind of finishing up. I think Jordan Lewis played a hell of a game, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There were a couple different times where he had to make a play in space and was able to come up big that way. So, you know, hats off to the defense. You know, they'd had a last couple of weeks have been pretty bad for them, but they were able to kind of pull that thing together yesterday, especially being as banged up as they were in the secondary.
Now, you talked about Dak Prescott, obviously 13 straight wins against the Giants, 22-27 yesterday, but y'all also brought up it has been a second-half offensive struggle. The Cowboys have not scored an offensive touchdown in the second half of three of their four games, with the lone exception being the blitzkrieg against the Ravens. Are you guys seeing anything on the tape, or have you noticed problems that have led to this lack of scoring?
I mean, I guess what I would say is, if you look at the way that they completed balls down the field in the first half, they were incredibly tight window, risky throws that Dak was executing. I think in the second half, he's like, we're ahead. It doesn't look like the Giants can score. I'm not risking the football like I did in the first half to get those two teddies.
Yeah, I think they were in a little bit of a bind with their offensive line, too. You know, maybe a little bit of uncertainty with the left tackle. And, you know, I mean, the play caller's got to do a little bit better job of helping him. And they left him by himself about, you know, 85% of the time in that game. They really said, we're not going to let Lawrence beat us inside. So I think they kind of try and find ways not to give up, give up sacks and, you know, potential problems and play their offense that way. I will say this, though. I kind of did like what they did with, you know, late in the game and trying to move the ball, not just run it, but throw on first down and then get it to thing to second and four, second and five, and yes, then run it. You know, sometimes you get in that mode where you run first and then have to pass. I think they kind of threw the Giants off balance a little bit trying to move the ball that way, and I think that's something they're going to need to go forward.
What y'all think about Cooper Beebe? I know, obviously, Wolchuk and Chiafalo, bogus hold call, of course. But yeah, what did you think about the way he played yesterday?
I mean, look, when he had to go one-on-one with Dexter Lawrence,
yeah,
that's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
And you could see, you know, Lawrence was able to overpower him. He held up for a little bit, but just isn't able to sustain the block long enough. But I think you saw him being able to get to the second level at times to create. And to me, it's really just the movement. Like, you're noticing so much more movement with this offensive line in the running game than what you got last year, which to me is trending in the right direction. He's so much more of a powerful player than what you had with Tyler Biadasz. There will be some growing pains, no doubt, but the combo blocks, him working in tandem, yeah, with Smith and Martin, really, really good.
That's how they're going to have to run the ball, because the big plays they had were when they were using the combo blocks and him and Martin and him and Smith were working together. It was unfortunate that Zeke's one big run was called back with the double holding calls right there, you know, but that was a little bit of a shaky call, I think, to begin with. But yeah, they're going to they didn't leave him very, they didn't leave him alone in this game. They 20% of, he was only single blocking 20% of the time, what the metrics said. So I was kind of curious by that. But when you watch them run the ball, that ball was cutting behind him and whoever he was doubling with. And I think that's how they're going to have to do it going forward.
What do y'all got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Hagee, thanks yes, so much for asking all of our thoughts on this Cowboys victory right out of the gates. At 4 o'clock, Nick Harris is going to be on the show. And at 2:20, Stephen Jones is going to jump on, give us some old thoughts, Steve, from the dub.
Yeah, all right.
Good,
that
times
should
Steve,
be
right,
fun.
Stevie
fun,
J.
Fun. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us on Monday. And Mike will be back 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
All right, go get Rangers.